move on to
most of the big points.
I think it's great. I'm going to go home. I picked it up for $7.50 at Walmart. I'm going to go watch it later on tonight, I think. I haven't seen it in a couple of years, but really, really funny. And it's you picking that has caused me to go out and watch number three and Minions again, as well as two. So another great flick. So the next one we got is from 1987. It's The Princess Bride from director Rob Reiner, starring Cary Elwes. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
Cary Elwes. Robin Wright, or Robin Wright Penn, as she was known right around the time of that movie, or right after that time. She married Sean Penn.
She married Sean Penn and then divorced him, and now mm-hmm. she's in House of Cards.
Yes, and now she's big in House of Cards. And Mandy Patinkin, who was known as an actor, but also more well-known as a singer. Right, Mandy Patinkin?
Yes.
So based around William Goldman's novel, which was kind of an irreverent fairy tale of the same name, The Princess Bride. The Princess Bride is staged as a book, which is read by a grandfather, who's Peter Falk, who is also known as Columbo, to his ill grandson, who is Fred Savage, who was big at the time in the Wonder Years, and also the mole in the Austin Powers movies. So Peter Falk's character, the grandfather, assures a romance-weary Savage that the book has more action to deliver than a simpering love story, including but not limited to some fencing, some fighting, torture, death, true love, giants, and pirates. It was distributed by 20th Century Fox. It's rated PG. All very family-friendly movies you picked this week, Winston, other than Deadpool, which we will talk about next. But, the first four you have, all very family-friendly movies. These are all movies that you could watch as a family. Despicable Me, Ten Commandments, and Wreck-It Ralph, and also The Princess Bride.
Yeah, The Princess Bride was one of the first movies you saw as an adult that was an actual movie that you look at and you say, yeah, you could watch that with your parents, and it's good.
Yeah. And it's a runtime, it's an hour and 38 minutes. And the other thing about it is you can watch it with an early girlfriend as a teenager.
Yes.
Because girls love this movie.
Yes.
It's got an 8.1 out of 10 on IMDb. It is actually in the top 250. It is number 242 as of today for top 250 movies on IMDb. People love this movie. It's an adventure fantasy genre. It's got a song called Storybook Love by a guy named Willie DeVille, who has since passed on. And the soundtrack is actually done by a guy named Mark Knopfler, who is from the rock band Dire Straits, who did Money for Nothing and Walk of Life. And he did the soundtrack, which was also well received. And I remember in high school and college, quite a few of my early friends that were girls all had the soundtrack to this movie. So it was nominated an Oscar for Best Original Song, Storybook Love, which we will play in a moment here. And this is also going to be our scene of the week. So this is going to be, are you ready for your close-up as we do a scene from A Princess Bride? But tell me about The Princess Bride. Why did you pick this movie?
It has so many great... Princess Bride has so many great lines. You know, if you know any of the lines and you want to know how great a movie is for as far as lines that have made it into the, you know, the general consciousness, you go on Facebook and just put out a line from The Princess Bride and see how many people put in follow-on lines.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on. People just don't stop.
It's very clever, yeah. It has a lot of very witty lines.
Yeah.
And if you blink, you miss them. If you're not paying attention, you miss them. It's not something you can do while you're like washing the dishes or doing laundry. You have to watch the movie.
No, you have to pay attention.
Yeah,
to the
you
movie.
Have to pay attention.
And it has such a diverse set of characters. You've got Andre the Giant, who
from wrestling fame. Yeah,
from wrestling fame, who is really huge. And you've got Billy Crystal playing the. The old Miracle Max.
Miracle Max, yes. A mutton, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. The mutton's nice and the mud's nice and ripe. Or mud, lettuce, and tomato sandwich, right? Or MMLT. I think it's mud, mutton, and lettuce and tomato.
And you got Mostly Dead.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, you know, there's a tremendous amount of really clever writing.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a fairly decent story. And, you know, and of course it had Robin Wright And that was introducing Robin Wright. I believe that was her first feature role. She was born in Texas,
mm-hmm.
and she required virtually no coaching for the English accent because her father was British.
Yeah. It says she started a professional career as a model in 1980 at age 14. And this was her first movie, and she was from Dallas, Texas, right? And we should also mention she was Jenny in Forrest Gump, who most people didn't like. She wasn't very nice to Forrest,
yeah.
but she was still Forrest's love, and you had Minnie Forrest at the end. So, but she's credited and introduced as Robin Wright, even though she had been modeling a few years before. Another interesting thing about her is she was turned down. Or she actually turned down roles for the love interest in Batman Forever and Sabrina.
Interesting.
Yeah. What else you got on that one?
Rob Reiner auditioned over 500 women for that role,
mm-hmm.
including Courtney Cox, Meg Ryan, Uma Thurman, and Whoopi Goldberg.
Really? Whoopi Goldberg as the love interest, as the
yeah.
princess?
That would have required a completely different movie with Whoopi.
Yeah. And that was 87, so Whoopi was still kind of brand new.
And
like
she was new,
stand up, yeah.
But her whole persona
yeah.
is so, you know, so bold
yeah.
that it would require an entirely different. She couldn't play such a passive role.
She was very thin at the time in the 80s too, Whoopi Goldberg. Like early on, she was really, really thin.
And she was funny as all get out.
Yeah, yeah. She still is. A little jaded, but still pretty good. But yeah, it's a great movie. And a lot of, we should also mention Carol Kane as Miracle Max's wife.
Yes.
Yeah.
Does a great job as Miracle Max's wife. Mandy Patinkin was offered any role he wanted. Mm-hmm. By director Rob Reiner. And he chose Inigo Montoya because his father had died a couple years before.
Uh-huh.
And he was going to use that as part of the motivation for the character.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Because his main line is when he meets up with the six-fingered man who's Christopher Guest.
Yeah.
He basically wants to introduce himself and say, prepare to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been looking for this guy his entire life, learns how to fence.
And one of the moments in the movie that I thought was really interesting
mm-hmm.
was when he finally kills the six-fingered man.
Right, right.
And he looks at him and he says, I want my... The guy says, offer me power. And the guy says, anything you want. He says, I want my father back, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And kills him. And I'm like, whoa.
Great. I mean,
you could just feel the energy and the intensity.
Oh, yeah. It's great, great. It's got a lot of heart to it, you know. It's got a lot of humor, but also a lot of heart to it. Wallace Shawn also was in it, who was in My Dinner with Andre, and he plays Vizzini. Vizzini. He basically was supposed to be the wisest man on earth, right?
According to him.
But things don't really go his way. But also Peter Cook shows up in it as well as a clergyman. And Carol Kane, again, is Valerie, Miracle Max, Billy Crystal. It's a great, great, great movie.
A terrific cast.
Let's play the Oscar-winning song here by a guy named Willie DeVille. Storybook Love. He ended up winning an Oscar for this. It's The Princess Bride, which is Winston's five flicks. This is number four from 1987 here on Watch This. Thanks for listening to your freeform station, WMFO, here in Medford, Massachusetts.
Come, my love, I'll tell you a tale. Boy and girl and their love story, and how he loved her oh so much, and all the charms she did possess. Now this did happen once upon a time, when things were not so complex, and how he worshipped the ground she walked, and when he looked in her eyes, he became obsessed. My love is like a storybook story, but it's as real as the feelings I feel. My love is like a storybook story, but it's as real as the feelings I feel. It's as real as the feelings I feel. This love was stronger than the power so dark a prince could have within his keeping. His spells to weave and steal a heart within her breast but only sleeping. My love is like a storybook story, but it's as real as the feelings I feel. My love is like a storybook story, but it's as real as the feelings I feel. It's as real as the feelings I feel. He said, don't you know I love you oh so much, and lay my heart at the foot of your dress. She said, don't you know that storybook loves always have a happy ending. Then he swooped her up just like in the books, and on his stallion they rode away. My love is like a storybook story, but it's as real as the feelings I feel. My love is like a storybook story, but it's as real as the feelings I feel. It's as real as the feelings I feel.
It's from Willie DeVille. It's Storybook Love. And again, that was nominated for an Oscar for Best Original Song. It didn't win. Storybook Love. $16 million budget, $30.9 million box office. Not bad. Almost twice of its money. So it made a return. So it was a moderate success. And then, of course, it got a cult following. And it was selected for the National Film Registry, so it is saved. It's deemed as culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant. So that's a big deal when you get selected for the National Film Registry. That means it's basically safe. If there was a bomb that went off, The Princess Bride is what's going to be. As soon as all the cooling settles and all the radiation goes away, somebody from space will say, hey, The Princess Bride, let's watch that on DVD.
When they finally dig us up, they'll be able to watch The Princess Bride and get the jokes.
So, yes, once again, another great, great pick. And the pick that you have that has the highest IMDb score for today, all of them have very high IMDb scores. And again, you can find this. It's popular. You can find this. It's usually streaming. It's usually out on your HBO or your Cinemax, and you can rent it on the streaming channels there. So tell me a little bit more about The Princess Bride. Or are you ready for your close-up, Winston? What else you got for us?
No, I think we can go.
You ready to play?
I'm ready to do the close-up.
All right, let's play Ready for My Close-Up today. So this is Watch This on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. We are going to do Ready for My Close-Up, which is a little game we do every week here for Watch This. It's going to be Winston and myself performing a scene from The Princess Bride here on Time Travel. So we will start with a scene that Winston and myself picked out. And tell me a little bit about this scene, or should we just start it? How should we set it up?
After Vanzini and his thugs have kidnapped the Princess Bride,
mm-hmm.
and they brought her up climbed up this very steep cliff.
Okay.
Hundreds of feet tall, and Vanzini is berating Fezzik, who is the giant, as he's going up, because the man in black is chasing them up the rope.
Okay.
And Vanzini uses his now famous line, inconceivable.
That's right. That is right. I will be the narrator, and I will be the man in black.
And I will do the part of Inigo. And what happens is they get to the top, and he's climbing the rock because they've cut the rope. And so Vanzini leaves Inigo Montoya behind to finish him.
Okay. Exterior, cliff's edge.
Hello there.
The man in black glances up, kind of grunts.
Slow going?
Look, I don't mean to be rude, but this is not as easy as it looks, so I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't distract me.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Inigo steps away, draws his sword, loosens up with a few perfect thrusts, then resheathes and looks eagerly over the edge again.
I do not suppose you could speed things up.
If you're in such a hurry, you could lower a rope, or a tree branch, or find something useful to do.
I could do that. In fact, I've got some rope right here. But I do not think that you'll accept my help, since I'm only waiting around to kill you.
That does put a damper on our relationship.
He finds another bold a few inches higher. Boulder.
But I promise you, I will not kill you until you reach the top.
That is very comforting. But I'm afraid you'll just have to wait.
I hate waiting. I could give you my word as a Spaniard.
No good. I've known too many Spaniard.
He just hangs there in space, resting, gathering his strength.
You don't know any of the way you'll trust me.
Nothing comes to mind.
And on these words, the camera zooms into a close-up on Inigo. He raises his right hand high, his eyes blaze, and his voice takes on a tone we have not heard before.
I swear on the soul of my father, Domingo Montoya, you will reach the top alive.
The man in black pauses and quietly,
throw me the rope.
Inigo dashes to the giant rock, the rope that was originally tied to him. His grip loosens a moment, and he tries to cling to the side of the cliff. Inigo, now with a small coil of rope, hurries back to the edge and hurls it over, and the rope hangs close to the man in black. He releases the rocks, grabs up the rope, hangs helplessly in space for a moment, then looks up at Inigo, and Inigo, straining, forces his body away from the cliff edge, and the man in black rises through the early morning light, slowly, steadily, and as the cliff top at last comes within reach, Inigo, watching as the man in black crawls to safety, looks to Inigo.
Thank you.
Wait, we'll wait till you're ready.
Again, thank you.
The man in black sits to rest on the shoulder that once held the rope. He tugs off his leather boots and is amazed to see several large rocks that tumble out. The man in black wears gloves, and Inigo stares at them.
I do not mean to pry, but you don't by any chance happen to have six fingers on your right hand.
He glances up,
The question clearly baffles him. Do you always begin conversations this way?
My father was slaughtered by a six-fingered man. He was a great sword maker, my father. And when the six-fingered man appeared and requested a special sword, my father took the job. He slaved a year before it was done.
He hands his sword to the man in black. The man in black fondles it and is impressed. I have never seen its equal. Close-up of an ego. Even now, this still brings him pain.
The six-figure man returned and demanded it, but at one-tenth his original price. My father refused. Without a word, the six-fingered man slashed him through the heart. I love my father, so naturally I challenge his murderer to a duel. I fail. The six-fingered man didn't leave me alive with the six-fingered sword, but he gave me these.
He touches his scars. The man in black looks up at Inigo. How old were you?
I was 11 years old. When I was strong enough, I dedicated my life to the study of fencing. So the next time we meet, I will not fail. I will go up to the six-fingered man and I will say, hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
You've done nothing but study swordplay?
More pursuit than study lately. You see, I cannot find him. It's been 20 years now. I'm just starting to lose confidence. I just took work for Mazzini to pay the bills. There's not a lot of money in revenge.
The man in black hands back the great sword and starts to rise. Well, I certainly hope you find him someday.
Are you ready then?
Whether I am or not, you've been more than fair.
You seem like a decent fellow. I hate to kill you.
The man in black walks away a few paces and unsheathes his sword. You seem like a decent fellow. I hate to die.
Begin.
And cut to the two of them. And we are now starting what is now one of the two greatest sword fights in modern movies. The other one will happen later on. And right from the beginning, it looks different because they aren't close to each other. None of the sword crossing on guard garbage. No, what we have here is two men, two athletes, and they look to be too far away to damage each other. But each time one makes even the tiniest feint, the other counters and there is silence. And as they start to circle, cut to the six-fingered sword, fainting here and fainting there. Cut to the two men, finished teasing, beginning to duel in earnest. Their swords cross, then again, and again, and the sound comes in so fast it's almost continual. Inigo presses on. The man in black retreats up a rocky incline.
Hi. You're using Bonetti's defense against me, huh?
I thought it fitting, considering the rocky terrain.
Naturally, you must expect me to attack with Capafeo.
He shifts his style. Naturally. But I find Thibault cancels out Capoferro, don't you? The man in black is now perched at the edge of the elevated castle ruin. Nowhere to go. He jumps to the sand. Inigo stares down at him.
Unless the enemy has studied his Agrippa.
And now, with the grace of an Olympian, Inigo flies off the perch, somersaults clean over the man in black's head, and lands facing his opponent.
Which I have.
The two men are almost flying across the rocky terrain, never losing balance, never coming close to stumbling, and the battle rages with incredible finesse, first one and then the other gaining the advantage. And by now, it's clear that this isn't just two athletes going at it. It's a lot more than that. This is two legendary swashbucklers, and they're in at their prime. It's Burnt Lancaster in The Crimson Pirate. It's battling Errol Flynn in Robin Hood. And then, incredibly,
the action begins, going even faster as before. As we cut to behind him, drawing closer. All the time, it's the deadly edge of Cliffs of Insanity. An ego fights and ducks and faints and slashes, and it all works, but not for long, as gradually the man in black keeps the advantage. He keeps forcing an ego back closer and closer to death.
You are wonderful.
Thank you. You've worked hard to become so. I've worked hard to become so as well.
The cliff is very close now. An ego is continuously being forced toward it.
I admit it. You are better than I am.
Then why are you smiling?
Because I know something you don't know.
And what is that?
I am not left-handed.
And he throws the six-fingered sword into the right hand, and immediately the tide of battle turns. Cut to the man in black, who's stunned. He does everything he can to keep an ego by the cliff edge, but no use. Slowly at first, he begins to retreat. Now, faster, Inigo is in control, and the man in black is desperate. And there is never a move anyone makes. He doesn't remember, and this time he blocks the slash, slashes out himself with the six-fingered sword. It goes on, back and forth across the rocky terrain, Inigo's feet moving with the grace and the speed of a great improvisational dancer. We cut to the six-fingered sword. It's knocked free, arches up into the air, and Inigo catches it again. And something terrible is written behind his eyes. He's given it his all. He's done everything that a man could. He's tried every style, he's made every maneuver, but it wasn't enough. And on his face, for all to see, is the realization that he, Inigo Montoya of Spain, is going to lose. We focus in on the man in black, who's moving for the end now, blocking everything, muzzling everything. And we cut to the six-fingered sword sent flying from Inigo's grip. He stands helpless only a moment. Then he drops to his knees, bows his head, and shuts his eyes.
Kill me quickly.
I would as soon destroy a stained glass window as an artist like yourself. However, since I can't have you following me either... The man in black dunks Inigo's head with his heavy sword handle.
Inigo pitches forward, unconscious.
Please understand, I hold you in the highest respect.
The man in black grabs his scabbard and takes off after the princess, and we suddenly end the scene.
That was wonderful. How'd you like my sword play in the background there?
Very good. I like that.
I was trying to get that going.
I got that
little surprise.
Tough adjustment.
I threw some surprise sword play in there. Yeah. Storybook love.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the other things is they almost made this movie in the 70s and they wanted to cast Arnold as Fezzik.
Really? Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah. He was going to be the giant, but...
I bet he would have been pretty fun.
Yeah. But by the time the 80s came around, Arnold was just too big. They couldn't afford him.
Yeah, that's true. It is a fun little movie. So, you were ready for your close-up. I think that was excellent. I think we did an excellent job.
I'm impressed by the way you handled that. You did well.
I thank you. You as well. I think Mandy Patinkin and Carrie Ewells would have been very, very impressed with the both of us.
Yes, happily, you know, they would have been pleased with our depiction.
I think so as well. All right, let's move it on up to Winston's Five Flicks. We're going to do number 5. Here we go. Here with you until 7 p.m. It is Watch This with Chris Earle and Winston Kidd.
Holy rocks and hand grenades. Pull the pistol like a maniac right in your face. Popping off caps, leave a trail of guts. Sitting on my chair, scratching my neck. Don't stop when I shoot for water was on. Yo, this grass and I'm mowing the lawn. Hot lead to the head and I won't stop. What your crew gonna do when I hack and chop? All these f***s are prima donnas. I stuff my face with Jimmy Chongas. Tacos and beers, always keeping it loose. Hang on for a minute while I'm dropping a deuce. Alive. Try to kill me, I'll just revive. Then I'll put another bullet right between your eyes. I'm dangerous, feeling reckless. Squeeze your neck like I was a necklace. Jump, flip, and leave them headless. I like my guns all big like Texas. Hey, goons, thugs, and bosses. Guess what? I brought Colossus. Time's up, better count your losses. Kicking that ass as my girlfriend watches. Run away, you know that I'll chase. Every bad guy, put them right in their place. Revenge, I'm gonna give you a taste. I'm sexy as hell, but I cover my face. About to take you all to school with guns and knives. Telling jokes and breaking the rules. I came for the tacos. Playing with the ladies and the family jewels to bust a nut. About to throw down with all these fools, so come and get some. Bring the noise, I'll bring the pain. Ha! Kicking ass and taking names. Payback time, I'm not playing games. These superpowers are feeling strange. I move like a friggin' ninja. Hand to hand, you know I'll inja. Got two swords, now I'll avenge ya. I don't care if I offend ya. Listen up, I got something to say. That's right, I run my mouth all day. Step up, take a bloodbath. Now you're trying to run and it's making me laugh. Ha ha ha, where you gonna go to? Try to hide, but you know that I'll find you. Tippy toes, sneaking up behind you. I'm Deadpool, do I have to remind you? Regenerate, because it's cool when I fall off a ledge. Deadpool. The crazy ass guards are looking to duel, so click, click, boom. Deadpool. I don't believe in the golden rule, I came to get laid. Deadpool. Note to the ladies, I'm not a tool, I'm a sexy motherfucker.
Remember when your neighbor found us naked in the car? And the time some outdoor action got us kicked out of the park? Getting frisky in the dark, I gave your eye a poke. I think the dog is also in the bed. Do I smell smoke? You and me, we never give up, you and me. We never, ever, ever give up. Getting hot and heavy with the whipped cream that we bought. Undressing in the kitchen and then getting caught. So many things can go wrong, but we still can get it right. You and me, we're not gonna give up tonight.
You didn't give up on sex. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices and put the bogus myths to bed at Bedsider.org.
Boy, we got options tonight.
Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WMFO Medford. It's Watch This. Chris Earle, guest is Winston Kidd. Very first show, we did Winston's five flicks. We're on number five. It's Deadpool. What a great soundtrack to this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Fantastic.
Awesome.
It's so good.
And it's an awesome movie.
It is a great movie.
That almost didn't get made.
So I'm a big DC fan, so which that's like Superman and Wonder Woman and Batman, and wasn't a huge Marvel guy. So I didn't know a whole lot about Deadpool, but the movie got made, and Deadpool was kind of like a comedy character. He was always self-referential in the comic books, and they did the same thing with the movies. So it was made in 2016. Director is Tim Miller. Stars Ryan Reynolds. He basically steals the whole movie from everybody else that's in it.
Yeah.
It's a fast-talking mercenary, Deadpool, with a morbid sense of humor. He's subjected to a rogue experiment that gives him superpowers, accelerated healing powers, and a quest for revenge. So basically, he pretty much can't be killed. It was distributed by Marvel Studios, one of the only superhero movies rated R, other than Watchmen, and I believe 300 was rated R. The runtime is an hour and 48 minutes. It's a fantastic soundtrack. It was nominated for 2 Golden Globes, Best Motion Picture, and also Best Performance by an Actor in a Motion Picture, which was Ryan Reynolds. So tell me why you picked this one.
It's just nonstop action, and his, you know, his repartee, his wittiness, just really. And he breaks the fourth wall throughout the entire movie.
Right, which is fantastic.
Because it makes it look like he's watching the movie with us. He's one of us.
Yeah.
And he's not going to buy into any of the mamby-pamby, other BS, nice guy kind of X-Men stuff, which is terrific. I don't think anybody but Ryan Reynolds could have done this.
Yeah, and what's neat about Ryan Reynolds is he played Green Lantern for DC earlier.
Right.
Which is a movie that I actually liked very, very much. Being a comic book guy, I thought it was pretty close to the Green Lantern that I wanted to see in the movies, but it didn't do very well. And he's fantastic in this movie. It had a budget of $58 million. It made $783 million.
It was filmed in 48 days.
Yeah.
And Ryan Reynolds is the second actor to play a title role in a DC movie and a Marvel movie. The first was Halle Berry in Catwoman, who was Catwoman for DC and Storm for Marvel.
Oh, right, right, yeah.
And then follow-on was Ben Affleck, who was Batman for DC and Daredevil for Marvel.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, and because you get into the comic book genre, it's just, there are so many layers that you can go through to do this. But when you just look at the opening sequence, and they do it in slow motion, and then it's like they've done a kind of a slow motion or stop in the middle of an accident, and then they wind it all back, and they show you exactly how they got there.
Right.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And the fact that they opened it up to, you know what, let's do what we can to make a great movie, and they didn't care about the rating, and they got an R rating, and it did phenomenally well. Like, phenomenally
yeah,
well.
Yeah, blew it away. And then a whole bunch of things that you didn't expect, like the he runs into Colossus, and Colossus has with him Negasonic teenage mutant whatever.
Yeah. He's got some kind of crazy teenager with him, right?
And her name was taken from a song from the band. Let me look. I got it here.
I'm trying to remember her name as well. I know that Colossus shows up. Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
Negasonic Teenage
That's
Warhead.
That's who it is. So it's kind
named
of
named after a song by the rock band Monster Magnet.
Oh, okay. All right. Very interesting.
And he kind of just, he plays off against the them wanting him to be the good guy X-Men.
Right. And it's really kind of considered an eighth installment of the X-Men movies from what they say. But yeah, I love how Marvel's been putting these movies together. They've done such a better job than DC has.
Yeah, they really have.
And I'm a huge DC fan, and I was so disappointed by, like, Justice League and just the way it's Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman. It's too dark for me. It's just...
Yeah.
And Marvel, they've done such a great job with all the X-Men movies and revamp and everything. It's just fantastic. And to me, they're enjoyable to watch because I don't get too upset. I'm a comic book fan, but I don't know the characters that well
enough to be critical.
You know, and like I said, Green Lantern I enjoyed, and the Christopher Nolan Batmans and the original Supermans, all fantastic. But lately DC's taken steps. I did enjoy Suicide Squad, but you know, DC's got to up their game if Marvel's out here making Logan and Deadpool and just amazing movies. I mean, just fantastic.
Yeah, and it was released in February in 2016, exactly 25 years after Deadpool's first appearance in New Mutants number 98.
Which I believe I have at home.
Do you really?
Yeah, and it was just one of those things where I collected, you know, nickel 25-cent comics, and I grabbed a stack of New Mutants, and that's in there. So that was a nice little bonus for me. I'm like, oh, they made a movie out of this guy. One thing I should mention is I bought Marvel stock in the early 90s when they were supposed to make Spider-Man and the X-Men and all this stuff. And Marvel Entertainment went out of business. And I ended up eating about $10,000 of my hard-worked money on the phone. Sitting on the phones for 40, 50 hours a week. And I had extra money and I put it into Marvel stock and it died. And then, of course, years later, it went through the roof. I believe they merged with like Time Warner or something like that. Or actually Time Warner's with DC, I forget offhand. But I think Disney owns Marvel now, actually. But now it's through the roof. I would have been a millionaire a dozen times over. Never would have had to do anything. No car. I could have just sat back and done nothing.
But, you took a shot.
Oh, well, yeah. But fantastic movie. And Deadpool 2, of course, is coming out. And it looks fantastic. The Bob Ross promo, doing something like Despicable Me does, is they're putting out these promos like a year in advance that are hilarious. They're like little mini movies. And if you liked The Joy of Painting with Bob Ross, the trailer for Deadpool 2 is just phenomenal.
Yeah, I
watched
really
it like
job.
10 times in a row over and over again. I thought it was so funny.
Just one of the great things about this movie, which is not exploited in Deadpool, but we expect to see more of it in Deadpool 2. Marina Baccarin, who plays Vanessa Carlyle, who is the love interest, and she's incredibly attractive, incredibly in shape. But what they don't tell you is that she's a mutant, and she's actually copycat, and that's going to come out supposedly in Deadpool 2.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that's what I get here in the notes, too, for this one. Film doesn't explore the character's comic alter ego copycat, but because they wanted to focus on Deadpool for the first one, but they're going to talk about it in the sequel.
Yeah, and just the personalities of Vanessa and Wade are perfectly offset for one another. They do a great job, and the on-screen chemistry is tremendous. And it would have to be, because there's a part when they do basically, I guess the best way to put it is sex around the calendar.
Right.
And where they're in the different, for each holiday, they're doing different sexual escapades. Still within the R rating, but.
Right.
They do phenomenal.
Yeah, just a fun movie. And your five flicks, all very good. And honestly, this is one of the reasons why I did the show. Five flicks that I want to see again. And I've already gone out and bought three of the five for my video collection. Just like how time travel was a love of music, Watch It Now is about a love of movies. This is my first love. I was a big movie watcher, a big movie lover before music. I was always a big music fan, so... Again, this is the sister show to Time Travel with Chris Earle, recently retired after 10 years on WMFO. Watch this with Chris Earle every Wednesday night from 5 to 7 p.m. My guest today is Winston Kidd, who was on the Time Travel radio show a number of times over the years, and it was my last guest on Time Travel.
Final guest for
Watch This. So, again, great final five. If you could pick a sixth to talk about, what would it be?
Oh, geez, and I was just thinking about that. If I were going to expand it to six, I probably would have gone into one of the Star Wars movies.
All right. Yeah, maybe we could do a sci-fi five next time.
Yeah, that would be good.
That would be cool. Very good. So let's listen to the end of Angel of the Morning here, and then we're going to come back with
great song that just...
Yeah.
The other thing about the soundtrack.
And this opens it up.
Yeah, it opens up here, and it's just, like, amazing, because, like, this is a great song.
Yeah, Juice Newton, and it brings a lot of new blood into the song after 2016 with Deadpool. It just brings in something completely different. So good.
Another movie that did that really well, and the first one was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, another great movie. I was thinking about that. Very similar, Guardians of the Galaxy, with the same type of humor that Deadpool had.
And the soundtrack, pulling out the old songs.
Oh, just brilliant. Brilliant. That's one of the best things, too, is being able to find these soundtracks and play them. So, again, the soundtrack of the week, as we've been listening along with the discussion of Winston's five flicks, is the soundtrack in the background. And go out and find these soundtracks, too. They're fantastic. So anyway, let's do the rest of Angel of the Morning. We're going to come back with something called Now Showing. So some choices on what to see that's currently showing in the theaters. Okay, they're in the theaters now. We're going to discuss the top 10 movies that are out there right now in the theaters. Be right back in a moment. You're listening to Watch This on WMFO. That was a quick break. That was a quick little break there.
There we go.
So let's do something called Now Showing here on Watch This with Chris Earle and guest Winston Kidd this week. So Now Showing, some choices on what to see out there that's currently showing in the movie theaters. And a lot of people say movie theater, what's that? Because people don't go to the movie theaters very much anymore, probably because it costs $20 a ticket. You go to the Outback or wherever you want to go, the Chili's or whatever. It turns out to $20 a ticket, $50 for some food and maybe a drink. You know, you're looking at $100 a night, right?
Yeah.
So for each of these movies, I want to play a game. It's called, do we want to see it, do we want to rent it, or do we have absolutely no interest in the movie? So we're going to play see it, rent it, skip it here on Watch This with Chris Earle. See it, rent it, or skip it. The top 10 movies of the week. Are you ready, Winston?
I'm ready.
Black Panther 2018. It is an action adventure sci-fi movie, 134 minutes. T'Challa, the king of Wakanda, rises to the throne in the isolated technologically advanced African nation. His claim is challenged by a vengeful outsider who was a childhood victim of T'Challa's father's mistake. See it, rent it, or skip it, Winston.
Rent it.
I think I'm going to rent it as well. I think I'm going to rent it as well.
Nothing but good things, but it doesn't. The special effects aren't ones that you absolutely have to see on the big screen.
I agree. And also, it's one of those things where everybody's seen it, and I don't like to be part of the in crowd.
If I had gotten the chance to go when it first came out, I definitely would have seen it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Number two. The weekend, A Wrinkle in Time, 2018. After the disappearance of her scientist father, three peculiar beings send Meg, her brother, and her friend to space in order to find him. Stars Oprah. 109 minutes. It's got a 4.2 out of 10 on IMDb. See it, rent it, skip it. A Wrinkle in Time.
Skip it.
Skip it. I agree. No more to be said on that one. The third one, The Strangers, Pray at Night. It's a horror movie, 85 minutes long. A family of four stays at a secluded mobile home park for the night, and they're stalked and then hunted by three masked psychopaths. See it, rent it, skip it.
Skip it. Been done to death.
I saw The First Strangers, and I actually enjoyed it, so I'm going to say rent it on this one. I'm not going to pay $20 to see it, but I will rent it and watch the horror movie by myself probably at my Halloween party in October. All right, the next one is Red Sparrow, who has Jennifer Lawrence. It's 140 minutes. It's rated R. She's a ballerina that's recruited to the Sparrow School. It's a Russian intelligence service. She's forced to use her body as a weapon. Her first mission targets a CIA agent, threatens to unravel the security of both nations. See it, rent it, or skip it?
Rent it.
I'm going to say rent it, too, because I want to see if Jennifer Lawrence shows any flesh, which she probably will.
Yeah.
Maybe just a leg. And that's sexy enough for me.
I think it has a chance to be good.
I think so, too. Game Night. My father saw it. He said it was okay, The Red Sparrow. Game Night. See it, rent it, or skip it. It is a group of friends who meet regularly for game nights, and then they find themselves entangled in a real-life mystery. It stars Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams. See it, rent it, or skip it.
Rent it.
I'm going to see this one, actually. This movie looks really, really funny to me. The trailer, I thought, was fantastic. It's got a 7.4 out of 10, so I'm actually going to see that one. So, Game Night, see it from Chris and rent it from Winston. The next one is Peter Rabbit. It's 95 minutes long. It's a feature adaptation of Beatrix Potter's classic tale of a rebellious rabbit trying to sneak into a farmer's vegetable garden. See it, rent it, or skip it. Go ahead, Winston.
I'm going to probably skip this one.
You know what's funny is I saw this. I actually already saw this in the theater, and it was funny.
Was it really?
Really, really good. And I'll tell you, it is right before Easter. If you get a chance, it's a matinee or whatever. I think you should see this movie. It's very, very funny. Right. And it's got a lot of humor, like the Deadpool and also the Guardians of the Galaxy. I thought it was very, very, very good. So again, Peter Rabbit, I gave it a 9 out of 10. So
really?
I thought it was a great, great movie.
All right, I'll take that.
So see it in a rented here. Death Wish, done by my friend Eli Roth, who I knew back in college, my brother to my buddy Adam Roth. Death Wish, Dr. Paul Kersey is an experienced trauma surgeon, a man who spent his life saving lives. After an attack on his family, Paul embarks on his own mission for justice. Stars Bruce Willis. See it, rent it, or skip it.
I'm probably gonna say I will see this because I like this is a kind of an extension of a character Bruce Willis has played a number of times, and he's been good in all of them. Red One, Red Two.
Yes, I agree. I'd rent it. As much as I'd love to give Eli a little bit of money, I think I'm going to save $20 and rent it for $1 or $2 on the Red Box when it comes on out. So that's Death Wish. Rounding out the top 10, The Hurricane Heist, 2018. Thieves attempt a massive heist against the U.S. Treasury as a Category 5 hurricane approaches one of its mint facilities. It stars a bunch of people I don't know, directed by a guy I don't know. It's PG-13, 113-minute action thriller. See it, rent it, or skip it.
Skip it.
I am going skip it, too, for the Hurricane Heist. Next one, Annihilation, starring Natalie Portman, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Tessa Thompson, Benedict Wong. It's a thriller. A biologist signs up for a dangerous secret expedition. Where the laws of nature don't apply. See it, rent it, or skip it?
I'm saying skip it because I look at these people and I don't see anybody on here that screams sci-fi to me.
Exactly. That's one of the reasons. Plus, it has three main leads as females in a sci-fi horror movie, which is probably why it's doing so poorly.
Yeah.
It's gotten great reviews, but I am going to probably... I am probably going to rent that one when it comes out. Annihilation. So rent it. And Winston, you were skip it on that one. And finally, rounding out the top 10, a movie that just came out on DVD and Blu-ray this week. Jumanji. Four teenagers sucked into a magical video game. The only way they can escape is to work together to finish the game. See it, rent it, or skip it.
Oh, definitely. Well, if it's out on... I'm going to rent it.
At this point now, I'm going to rent it. I wanted to see it, but I moved that down to rent it. So that is see it, rent it, skip it. That is what is happening now in the theaters this week. So that is now showing the segment, now showing of Watch This with Chris Earle. We only have about 10 minutes left, so I'd like to keep on moving here. And I think I'm going to give you the quiz of the week.
All right, let's go.
I'm going to give you the quiz of the week.
Put
so wait a
thinking
second.
Thinking cap on.
I'm going to put this.
That's okay. I got to unwrap the tinfoil.
All right, here we go.
Put my hat on.
I got an intro.
What's
here.
That?
There we go.
Sushi.
Sushi.
I love sushi.
Rice, raw fish, and seaweed.
You won't accept a guy's tongue in your mouth, and you're going to eat that.
All right, that's your hint. The genre of the week is high school movies. And it's the Alpha Genre Movie Quiz, Chris Earle's Big Movie Quiz of the Week. You will win a prize. It's either going to be a great DVD or a consolation prize.
All right.
It's either a great DVD or a consolation prize. You have to get at least, I'll give you seven. At least seven.
Oh, it's going to be tough.
So first of all, I'd like to give a dirty dozen of 12 high school movies you need to watch before you die. This is the list that I came up with. There are, you know, 20, 30 of them. But these were the 12 that I came up with, and they're all based, the quiz is based on these 12 movies. American Graffiti from 1973.
Great flick.
Grease from 1978.
Good flick.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High from 1982.
Great flick.
16 Candles from 1984.
Great flick.
The Breakfast Club from 1985.
Classic.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off from 1986.
Great.
Say Anything from 1989.
One of his best efforts.
Dazed and Confused from 1993.
Didn't see it.
Rushmore from 1998.
Bill Murray's awesome.
Donnie Darko from 2001.
Didn't see that one.
Mean Girls from 2004.
Didn't see that one.
And finally, 12 high school movies you need to watch before you die. My final one is Superbad from 2007.
Okay, that was good.
Are you ready for the Dirty Dozen quiz, Winston?
I am ready.
You are either going to win a copy of a good movie or a shite consolation prize. Today's genre is high school movies. Oh, I said 8 or above, you get the good DVD. I'm going to do 7, though, since you're our first guest.
Oh, good.
All right? And if you
I'll
get them
every-
all right, if you get them all right, if you get 10 or above, you will get a bonus prize.
Awesome.
You'll get everything. All right? Who is the name of
a
the
tongue in my mouth?
You will not get a tongue in your mouth. But there are 10 questions. They're all multiple choice. The two bonus questions will be just off the cuff. You're going to answer them directly, and you'll get bonus points for that. So you need 7 or above to win the great DVD. Who was the name of the director of 16 Candles? Was it John Hughes? Was it Molly Ringwald? Was it Robert Downey? Or was it Amy Heckerling?
The first one.
The first one, John Hughes?
Yes.
That is correct. How many members were there in the Breakfast Club? Were there 7? Were there 3? Were there 4? Or were there 5? How many members were there in the Breakfast Club? 7, 3, 4, or 5?
Shoot, I'm going to go with 5.
That is correct.
Whew.
You are doing well, 2 for 2. In the movie Grease,
yeah,
what is the name of the car that Danny and Kanicki use to race Crater Face? Is it the Flash? Is it Old 57? Is it Grease Lightning?
Grease Lightning.
Or is it the Silver Streak?
Grease
it
lightning.
Is Grease Lightning, which is actually silver in the dream sequence. In the movie Donnie Darko, after he narrowly escapes a bizarre accident, who does Donnie keep seeing in a vision that manipulates him to commit a series of crimes? Is it a large turtle? Is it the devil? Is it a horse? Or is it a giant rabbit?
Oh, let's go with the devil.
That is incorrect. It is a giant rabbit that Donnie Darko keeps seeing. You have 3 out of 4 right now. Who wrote Mean Girls? Was it Amy Poehler? Was it Tina Fey? Was it Rachel Dratch? Or was it Rachel McAdams?
Go with Rachel Dratch.
It was Tina Fey. That
really?
Is incorrect. Yes. Tina Fey wrote Mean Girls in 2006.
Good job, Tina.
In the movie Dazed and Confused, what is the band that the group is trying to score tickets to? Is it Kiss? Is it Aerosmith? Is it the Bee Gees? Or is it Meatloaf?
Kiss.
It is Kiss. You are correct. What two actors work together again on
so
television?
So social. Demented and sad, but social.
Yes, Bender right. In the background. John Bender. What two actors work together again on television after they worked together in George Lucas's American Graffiti? Was it Suzanne Summers and Harrison Ford? Was it Cindy Williams and Ron Howard? Was it Paul LaMatt and Ron Howard? Or was it Penny Marshall and Cindy Williams?
Penny Marshall and Cindy Williams.
That is incorrect. It was Cindy Williams and Ron Howard who worked together on Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley. Penny Marshall was not in the movie. Penny Marvel was not in the movie. Cindy Williams was. In the background, we have the opening to Superbad. Superbad, what type of receptacle does Seth put in his stolen... what type of receptacle does Seth put his stolen keg beer into? Does he put it in a milk jug? Does he put it in a detergent container? Does he put it in a trash barrel? Or does he put it in V8 tomato juice jugs?
V8 tomato juice jugs.
That is incorrect. It was a detergent container. Two left. In the movie, Say Anything. During the car scene, when Lloyd Dobler gives Diane Court a heart, what does he get in return? Does he get a breakup letter? Does he get a pen? Does he get a mixtape? Or does he get a bologna sandwich?
The breakup letter.
He does not. He gets a pen. He gets a pen. Okay. Let's see what we got here.
I started early.
Started strong. You got 1, 2, 3, 4.
What was that?